All right. I don't know why that's not working. All right, Genesis chapter 1. We're going to start in the beginning. Genesis chapter 1, we're going to read verses 26 through 28, and then chapter 3, verses 7 through 9. Let's pray together. God, our Father, we're so thankful for the opportunity that we have to break the bread of life this evening. We pray, dear God, that you would take that bread, Lord, and feed us that which is needful, needed in every heart and every soul, as only you can do, Lord, that you could divide your word and make it appropriate, make it count, pierce each heart, Lord, whatever the need is. We pray tonight, Lord, that you would teach us a bit about what it means to walk with you, Lord, that you would inspire us, Lord, excite us, Lord, to walk with you. And then, Lord, help us have the wherewithal to do it. And we ask this all in Jesus' name. Amen. Genesis chapter 1, verse 26 through 28 first. Then God said, "Let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the birds of the heavens, and over the livestock, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth." So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. And God blessed them. And God said to them, "Be fruitful and multiply, and fill the earth and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the birds of the heavens, and over every living thing that moves on the earth." Now chapter 3, verses 7 through 9. "Then the eyes of both were opened, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves loincloths. And they heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And the man and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. But the Lord God called to the man and said to him, 'Where are you?'" Has anyone ever asked someone to go for a walk with them? I mean, I have. I think pretty much all of us could say, yeah, we have done that. And when you ask somebody to go for a walk with you, you're really saying, "I want to talk with you. I want to have time with you. I want to have fellowship with you." When I was younger, much younger, the way that guys in high school would see if a girl liked them would be to go up to the girl and say, "May I carry your books?" Now, that wasn't really a concern over how heavy the books were. It was to have a link that girl would not be able to get away. If she said, "Yes, you could carry my books," I'm not going to say, "Okay, what's your address? I'll have them there by 6. I would say, "Well, good, let's have a walk." And we would go for a walk, and there would be that talk. And it would be something that would be special. It would be just between us. It would be personal. And it would be hopefully something that would grow to something bigger, something more that we would get closer. In the beginning, God had a design to walk with Adam and Eve. And I think that's the way to start in looking at what a walk with God is. God created man to have a walk with him, to walk with him in the garden. And we're going to have a couple of the key thought tonight I would like to just leave with us is that we should be purposeful in cultivating our walk with God in order to please God and enjoy him ourselves. So purposeful, like I was purposeful in asking, or that we would be purposeful in asking someone to have a walk with me. Would you walk with me? That we would be purposeful in having a walk with God, that we would be purposeful in saying, "I would like that relationship with you, God, that I understand fits with other people." So we're going to take a couple of looks at things. We're going to look at the way walking with God was in the beginning, the way it was, walking with God the way it is now, the way it is, and then walking with God the way it's going to be in the future. And I think we could learn some things from each of those three areas. So God created the universe and all that was in it. Just imagine that. So God said, "I'm going to create the world. I'm going to create the universe." He took nothing and he made it into something. And God created man in his own image. If you look at, you know, the Baptist Catechism, question number 14, which I'm sure you all have memorized, how did God create man? God created man, male and female, after his own image, in knowledge, righteousness, and holiness, with dominion over all the creatures. So God made everything that we see, everything that we know, he made it so that we could have dominion over it. He made the creation for man. Did you ever stop to think that man is the only part of God's created creation on this earth that could actually appreciate what God did? We are the only thing that could return to God glory, and God wanted us to appreciate that glory that he created and to have dominion over his creation. We could appreciate, John Piper says, that we could appreciate that we're capable of sharing his knowledge, his righteousness, and holiness in a relationship of trust and love. Here's another question from the catechism that I'd like to share with you. What is question number 2? What's man's purpose? What's the chief end of man? Anybody? To glorify God and enjoy him forever. It was no different for Adam and Eve. He created them to glorify him and enjoy him forever. And when you're going on a walk with somebody, you're enjoying the company of that person. And tonight, I'm just going to take a look at what that means as we try to enjoy God. In Isaiah chapter 43, verse 7, everyone who is called by my name, who I created for my glory, who I formed and made, God says that he created people for his glory. And implicit in that statement is a relationship with him. God's purpose for creating man and man's purpose for existence is illustrated in the Garden of Eden. So, Adam and Eve, perfect, unfettered, unfiltered, relationship with God. They could talk with God without any shame. They could talk with God without any guilt. They could talk with God as he was. He came into the garden. They had unfettered. And we know that God came into the garden because what happened when they sinned? When they sinned, God walked into the garden and called out their names and they hid themselves. And this was an indication to God, as far as humanly speaking, from our perspective, that something was wrong, something was amiss, because they hid instead of ran to God. There was something that they knew that was different from before, because when they walked with God before, when God came to the garden, they were able to just fellowship with him. They were able to enjoy him. They were able to walk with him. But now something had happened. Sin had happened. Adam and Eve had taken of the forbidden fruit, and they had walked away from God's purpose of creating man in his own image so that God could receive glory, so that man could enjoy him, that was fractured. It was broken. It was no longer viable, to the point where God said, we got to kick these two out of the garden. They cannot stay here with us. And we all know the story. I'm sure we're all familiar with it. Man who was perfectly innocent and had perfect fellowship and unfiltered relationship and was faultless before God was now guilty and hiding before God. But I just want to propose to you today that God did not change what his purpose was in creating man. Neither did he change that he desired for man to enjoy him forever. So the problem is, there's a fall. It's the way it is, and this is the problem that we've had. Did you ever think it only took 3 chapters to mess everything up in the Bible? And we've got all the way to go till the end of Revelation, where the last three chapters kind of set everything right, and there's a whole bunch of stuff in between. And we're in that in-between part where God is taking things the way they were, where he created them, where man had perfect fellowship with him, and he's taking us to a place where we have perfect fellowship with him again. Man was removed from the garden, and we see that in Genesis chapter 3, verse 22. Walking with God was no longer possible. God said we got to get rid of these people because if they eat of that tree of knowledge, the tree of life, they will live forever, and that will be a big problem because they have a sin issue that needs to be dealt with. God's creation groans and travails from that time to this. It is a dying creation, and we have dying men and women who cannot fellowship with God. The natural man doesn't receive the things of God, doesn't accept the things of the Spirit of God, for they are folly to him, and he is not able to understand them because they are spiritually discerned. Now, I think in Adam's case, if you try to just think, he lived about 1,000 years. And I think in his mind, he knew from sight what was and what should be, and he could relate to what is and what was no longer. He was under the curse of work, and he could carry that with him only to a point. But even he, the Bible would say, is dead in his trespasses and sin. He was spiritually dead. He was not alive. Just like there are many people who know a lot about the Bible, who can quote Scripture, who can say they know things, they know doctrine, they know verses, they know church, they know the catchphrases, but they don't know the Lord. Dead. There was no common ground for walking in fellowship. Man no longer sought after God, and as you go from generation to generation, as Adam became ancient history, and now we are thousands of years removed from Adam, that men can certainly say that we could certainly see how easy it is to believe that men don't seek after God. Man was dead spiritually and couldn't understand the things of the Lord. So we know what's the solution to that problem. I think we all know what the solution is. The problem was the sin, fellowship is broken, and now the solution is Jesus Christ. In Hebrews chapter 2, verse 9, but we see him who for a little while was made lower than the angels, namely Jesus, crowned with glory and honor because of the suffering of death, so that by the grace of God he might taste death for everyone. So Jesus, who was with the Father before the creation, who agreed with the Father before the foundation of the world in how creation would play out, and he also agreed that someday he would die to make things right again, he became lower than the angels. I think that's just the Bible's way of saying in a very nice way that he became fully man. Because Adam was made a little bit lower than the angels. He took on the form of a man. And he became the one who suffered and died for us. Thus it is written, the first man, Adam, became a living being, and the last Adam became a life-giving spirit. In the beginning we had the Adam who messed things up, and then in the end, in our time, we know that Jesus has in the process of setting things permanently right. But for you and I, who have been regenerated by the Spirit of God, we are in that process. We are becoming more and more like Jesus. Our fellowship, although fractured, can be repaired. God desires, even now, in the way it is time, after the fall, God desires for us to have fellowship with him. But the hour is coming, Jesus said in John 4:23, and is now here. The hour is coming and is now here, he said, when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father is seeking such people to worship him. So Jesus, he is the repair man, our God, our Savior, who made it possible for us to be able to have that fellowship restored with him. And those in the old covenant look forward to Christ, and we who know the new covenant, we are in faith trusting in him. Jesus came to restore a right standing with God, undoing what was done by Adam. Therefore, just as sin came into the world through one man and death through sin and death spread to all men because all have sinned. You know, I have such a hard time. I have to tell you, I have such a hard time because my brain is thinking King James and my eyes are looking at ESV. This is what happens when you're old and you've been weaned on a different Bible. But I'm trying, so bear with me. We are restored to fellowship with Jesus. Jesus said in John said in John chapter 1 verse 3, that which we have seen and heard we proclaim also to you, so that you too may have fellowship with us. And indeed, our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. So we do have, and I don't think I've said anything to you tonight that you didn't already know. I don't think I've said anything to you, but I think it's important to remind us of these things. And I think it's important to understand, I want to tie it all together and talk about our walk with God. But we do that. I just wanted to say that we have to be purposeful in maintaining, in developing this walk with God that God desires for us to have. There are examples in the Bible, and I'm just going to mention them. And one of the ones is on the road to Emmaus. There were these two guys who were disappointed, who were disheartened. And you know the story, how they walked away from Jerusalem, discouraged about the things that had happened. They were talking about, how could this happen? How could these things be that our Messiah, the one that we were hoping would restore Israel to its prominent place, he could die? And then there's some people that are saying he's risen from the grave. And they were sad, and yet this stranger approached to them. And he approached to them, and he started talking with them and said, why are you sad? And they said, haven't you been around? Didn't you know what has happened in Jerusalem? Have you been on a different planet? What's going on? And Jesus asked them to explain, and they tried to explain it. And he said, and the Bible says that from Moses, he opened the scriptures to them, showing them about who Christ was and what Christ was to do. But the verse that I want to key on about what these gentlemen said when they... So Jesus, you know the story, how Jesus walked aside with them. He pretended he was going to leave, and they said, won't eat with us. And he said, okay, I'll eat with you. And they started to break bread. And I think it's such a great picture that when Jesus started to break bread, they realized who he was. And I, you know, just this is an aside because it's not really part of the message, but I think it kind of ties in with our Lord's Supper, that when we break bread, we could have that same fellowship and communion with the Lord, that we could realize who he is and we could realize what he's done for us, as these guys did. But they said, when they were walking with Jesus, did not our hearts burn within us while he talked with us on the road and while he opened us the scriptures? I think that's what we should strive for and what we should work for and what we should desire with all our hearts as we're walking with, we desire to walk with Jesus. So I'm gonna finish up in just a couple of minutes. How's the way it's going to be? Well, we're going to have a private relationship with Jesus, even in eternity. And even Revelation chapter 2, verse 17 talks about, he who has an ear to hear, let him hear what the scripture says to the churches, that to the one who conquers, I will give him some of the hidden manna, and I will give him a white stone with a name written on the stone that no one knows except that the one who receives it. So in heaven, we'll all be glorifying God and we'll be worshiping God, but there will also be that personal relationship where God says, I got a special name for you, and just me and you know it. And so there's that fellowship that will always be there. Our walk with God will be as it was in the beginning, but only better, because there won't be the threat of a fall. There won't be that, you can do anything you want, but just don't eat of that tree, because that will not be there. We will have already been redeemed. We will be in direct and intimate fellowship with God. So just a couple of points of application. Number one, know that you are loved and the Lord desires to walk with you. Know that you are loved and that the Lord desires to walk with you. As the Lord created man, and God created man in his own image, and that the chief purpose of man is to glorify God and enjoy him, God desires to walk with us, and I think we should try to partner with him in that. Develop a close walk, number two, develop a close walk with the Lord in prayer, developing that will keep you from losing the battle to the world, the flesh, and the devil. And I have, if you'd like to write down Psalm 19, verses 13 through 14 as a reference for that. By the way, you won't cheat on the Lord, so to speak, if you have a close relationship. Nobody cheats on somebody. Nobody's unfaithful to somebody. Nobody stabs somebody in the back if they have a close relationship with them. If you're walking with someone, it's hard. But Amos says, how can two walk together except they be agreed or be in agreement? Knowing that walking with God is a relationship. It's not, nobody likes somebody that's always asking and asking, can you give me this? Can you give me this? Can you give me this? God's not a genie. He wants to have a relationship with us. I think he loves when we ask for things in faith, and he loves that, but he wants us to have a relationship with him. Develop your personal relationship to God in prayer. Share your thoughts, your sorrows, and your fears with him. Relationships are communications. Let God know your heart. And there's some other things I would have liked to have said, had given a little bit more time, but I think we get the end. I think I've said enough. The Lord, the Lord has a desire for us to worship him, to walk with him, and I think we should all pray for each other and pray for our walk with the Lord, that we would get strong with the Lord and that he would consider us a friend. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for this time together. I pray, dear God, that you would help us, Lord, to develop a close walk with you, Lord, that you wouldn't be this stranger, that you would be that we would have this relationship with you, Lord, that would show that we are your friend, Lord, that we are intimate with you, that we walk with you. And we ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen.